Let us pray as we come to think of this passage together. Lord God, I pray that through your Holy Spirit you would take my words, speak into our hearts and minds, that we might live more fully for the glory of your name. Amen. I think this gospel passage seems a very timely one for us this year, as it describes a woman who had been living under the frustration of medical restrictions for a prolonged period of time, just as we've been living in this bizarre curtailed lifestyle due to the COVID pandemic for the last 2.5 years. And of course, it's not over yet. The reason that Harry's husband Aidan isn't with us tonight is because frustratingly he tested positive for COVID. So, if I look up at the camera and greet Aidan, who is very sure of watching from at home. And of course, there are others who are still frustrated by the effects of COVID and indeed long COVID. The woman here had been ill with continuous hemorrhaging for over 12 years, so faced far more serious limitations for far longer than we've been chafing under. She'd spent all that she had on doctors, and I've always loved the way that one translation puts it, where it says, and for 12 years she had suffered at the hands of many doctors. The reason I like that is because my twin brother is a doctor. And I always like reminding him that in the Bible it says that doctors cause ongoing suffering to their patients. Anyway, this woman had spent a fortune and no one could make her better. We're licensing Andrew this evening as your new rector in the next stage of her service as a minister of Christ. And I think this passage is a timely one in that context, because in this passage we see both the incredible power of God and the incredible compassion of God. And there are two things that Andrea is being called and commissioned to bring to this church and this community in her service among you as rector. Incredible power of God and the incredible compassion of God. First, his power, that Jesus was so full of life and grace that even one touch of the hem of his robe was enough for this woman to be healed. She'd suffered for 12 years, tried all sorts of things, and no one's been able to help her. But then God comes along. Jesus, God made flesh, comes into her town, and she's heard that he's a miracle worker. He's healed the sick, raised the dead, calmed the storms. Thinks to herself, maybe, just maybe, could he, dare I believe? She's nervous and understandably she's desperate, and so she doesn't dare approach Jesus directly. That's partly due to the fact that she'd have been considered unclean due to her bleeding, but partly no doubt because after 12 years of desperation, she's unsure, she's nervous, only half daring at best to believe that Jesus might be able to make any difference. So she reaches out in the melee and touches the back of his cloak. And she's healed at once, just like that amazing, remarkable miracle. This is the awesome power of God. Just one touch, and she's healed. And not even God touching her, but her reaching out and touching God. The very edge of God's cloak, indeed. That was enough. That's the scale of the power of our God. That when he came into contact with illness and disease, then healing was natural, automatic, inevitable even. We see also the incredible power of God in the other event that sandwiches around this encounter with the woman who touched his cloak. In the encounter of Jesus raising the little girl, Jairus' daughter, from death back to life. Power to heal, power to bring new life. The amazing power of our God indeed. But that's not all that we see in this incident. For the story doesn't end there. In Mark's telling of this incident, we get a little more detail, and you'll be familiar with it. A woman begins to slip away back into the scrum of people. We're not told if she realised right away that she'd be healed or not, but she certainly wasn't going to risk being noticed. So she slips back.
Only something shocking happens.
Jesus stops, and he turns around. "Who touched me?" he asks. And no one will know. Maybe they thought Jesus was accusing someone of jostling into him, or treading on his toes, or something like that. It seems a bit like being crammed into a tube train and rushing. So his disciples say to him, "Come off, Lord. It's like Piccadilly Circus around here. You can't reasonably ask who touched you." But Jesus insists that someone specific had touched him and been healed by him. And he stops and asks who it was, and he waits. And finally, we're told that the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And what this is doing is showing us the incredible compassion of God. Do you see what's going on here? This woman was a nobody. She was impoverished by years of illness, futile treatment. She was ceremonially unclean, probably quite visibly physically unclean as well. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this story. They all describe how this healing was sandwiched between the request to go and heal the daughter of the synagogue ruler. But none of the three, Matthew, Mark, Luke, none of them bother to find out or to recall what the woman's name was. And yet both Mark and Luke tell us that the synagogue figure was called Jairus. See their scale of reference? Even after Jesus had healed her, she didn't really matter. It wasn't worth finding out her name to them. But Jairus was important, so they remembered his name all right. But listen to Jesus again. "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." See, Jesus noticed. Jesus knew. Jesus cared. For with God, it's not just about healings or miracles or grand shows of power. It's about compassion and love and caring. Yes, he meets us at our point of need, but he does so with gentleness and relationship and intimacy and care. So Jesus spoke these wonderful words to this woman. "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And that's the commission really I want to give to Andrea as we license her as rector tonight. My encouragement to her and her ministry, but indeed not just Andrea, to all of us. Those who are members here at St. Bartholomew, those who are members with responsibilities elsewhere in the church and beyond. Andrea will be serving in the name of God, who is the God of power, God who transforms lives. That's a powerful message to bring. And never lose sight of that power of God in whose name we serve and we serve. But more than that, you're called to bring the compassion of God. And I know that's a part of your character and your nature. Ministry is a pastoral ministry, caring for those in the church and those beyond the church. The unique privilege of an incumbent in the church of England is that you're licensed to serve the whole community. Those would sign up as members and those who wouldn't yet. And those who actively would, you will be their rector. So whatever situations you're called to in serving here in Duffington in the years ahead, know that God is with you. God is with you in power and God is with you in compassion through his Spirit giving you his grace to serve in his name. That's Andrew's calling and commission tonight. But as I say, that's the calling and commission for each one of us. For all of us who profess his name as followers of our compassionate, powerful God, may we truly serve as Jesus gave himself for us. Amen. At least that's very natural.